chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. We've been going through studying the life of Elijah. This may have more relevance than what meets the eye at first glance. They were living in troubled times. There was a stark contrast between the forces of darkness and the involvement of those forces of darkness in the land and the forces of good. God's involvement in the land. The people had basically pushed God aside. The leaders of the nation of Israel were unbelieving. And God was going to bring his judgment on them. God raised up a prophet, someone to speak. I think I'd like to have heard Elijah preach. How about you? God called this nobody from nowhere, Elijah the Tishbite, to stand in the palace and to pronounce judgment, the judgment of no dew and no rain before the most wicked administration that Israel had known. Now, they had known wickedness in their leaders for years and years, but things culminated with Ahab and his wife, Jezebel. So we see this contrast, and God calls his prophet to stand and to bring the word. This was a word of judgment. A couple things just right off the top that we should always be mindful of, and that is that God has a remnant. He has a people. Even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of a culture that is upside down in values, in their view of life, God preserves a remnant. And there is a discernible difference between God's people and those who do not know God. The times in which we live and the times that we are making reference to, if there's any good, it is that the disparity between good and evil, between God's people and those who don't know the Lord is clear. It's clear. There's not much middle ground. Now, there was for a little bit in this story of Elijah. They were hopping along on two opinions, and Elijah preached to them. You don't need to hop along on two opinions. You don't need to try to straddle the fence. Don't need to go back and forth. You need to choose. If God's God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. And then as the story develops, we find that God preserves his people. He preserved his prophet, but he also preserved his people, because when the prophet thought he was the only guy, the Lord shows him that there's more. He's got more people than just one or two. He's got more churches than just one or two. God's got his people, and he preserves those people. He preserves a remnant. And listen, we need to hear this more than ever. From a human perspective, you may feel like we're outnumbered. There's more of them than there are of us. Well, that's an earthly perspective. That's all that is. The truth is, I don't know who said it, but the Lord's people in God. Listen, if God's on your side, you're on His side, so what? You're not outnumbered. You should never be overwhelmed. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Nope, nothing. Nothing's too difficult for Him. He can preserve His people in the midst of hard times and unparalleled sin and sin's degradation. God can do that, and God does. He has, and He does. This is who our God is. Well, we've looked at the encounter there on Mount Carmel. And God answered by fire, and he is still the God that answers by fire. No mistake about that. Our God sees, our God knows, and there is a judgment coming. I mean, listen, what are we saved from? We're saved from the power of sin and the consequences of sin. We're saved from judgment. And we're saved from judgment by God's grace. We do not deserve it. In fact, all of us deserve judgment. But it's God's grace. It's His favor toward us that He would send Jesus to die on the cross, to shed His blood, that our sins would be dealt with and paid for, that we would be forgiven, that we would be born again into His family. And then He just opens up the floodgates of His blessing with all the spiritual resources necessary for us to live this life in victory. And you either believe that or you don't. He's given us so many promises. In fact, Peter deals with this in the second letter he wrote. He says, God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have an open Bible. We have prayer, and we'll look at Elijah's prayer tonight. It's a fabulous prayer. We have an open Bible. We have access to God through prayer. We have these many promises of the Scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and prompting and comforting and teaching and helping. That's a wonderful resource, wouldn't you say? The third person of the Trinity, indwelling believers. I think that's a wonderful resource of heaven. We have companionship. You don't have to do this alone. No, we have brothers, we have sisters, we have people that know what it's like to be a Christian and to be despised by the world, to be a Christian and to face hardship and sorrow and loss in this life. So you never have to feel alone. There's always someone there who will be there to listen or be there to pray or be there to do both and to walk with you. That's a wonderful resource. Has anyone ever encouraged you with a word, with a prayer, with their presence? Sure. That's invaluable. All of these resources, God has made them available to us and for us. Well, immediately following, and we're getting to our scripture, Elijah, at the end of that Mount Carmel scene, verse 40, we'll just look at that and we'll read on down. Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. That sounds really harsh. But you know what's harsher? is that these prophets of Baal were responsible before God to the people to lead them in the authentic worship of God. They were to lead the people to love God. They were to put a premium on the Word of God. And they didn't. You know what they did? They led the people down the broad path that leads to destruction. And because of that, they were accountable. And they met their demise there with Elijah at the brook Kishon in that day, at the end of the event there of at Mount Carmel. And now we have Elijah right back to Ahab. I love these conversations. How would you like to have been there just to hear? I mean, there's Ahab. He's the king. Elijah is this nobody from nowhere. I mean, Elijah the Tishbite. Tishbe? Anybody want to go to Tishbe? What are you going to see there? Well, where Elijah was from. Oh, great. Okay. But Elijah said to Ahab, he said, go up, eat and drink. For there is the sound of the roar of a shower. Now, my Bible puts in italics a heavy shower. Now, that's interesting because, you know, this whole thing starts with Elijah saying to Ahab, there's not going to be any dew and there ain't going to be rain for years, according to my word. And we know that Elijah's word was the word of God. And now he's going to Ahab and he says, go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. Happy days are here again. So I want you to notice what Ahab does. So Ahab, there in verse 42, he went up to eat and drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he crouched down on the earth and he put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go back. And he said this seven times. Servant came back. He said, go back. Servant came, went, came back. Elijah said, go back, check again. Added up to seven times. It came about at the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. The word of the Lord. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of scripture, and we thank you for the meaning of it. And we would really like from you understanding and encouragement as to the meaning of this. Elijah praying and his servant and Ahab. So, Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to be receptive. Help us, Lord, to be teachable and to receive of you and your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Elijah said to Ahab, this is verse 41, go up and eat and drink. So Elijah is speaking to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So what do you think Ahab would do at this point? I mean, there's been years with no rain. It still hadn't rained at this point, but it's about to rain. So what would you expect Ahab to do? Well, we would all expect Ahab to do what Ahab has always done. Look out for Ahab. I want you to see a contrast. Yeah, I know Elijah said go up, told him to go up and eat and drink, but I want you to see a contrast between Ahab, who really represents evil, an evil ruler, and the contrast with Elijah, who represents God's child, God's man, however you want to put it. And Ahab is going to do what Ahab has always done, which is to go up and eat and drink. And Ahab goes up to eat and drink because he's concerned about himself. He's always been concerned about himself, and that's all he's concerned about is himself. They have not had a drop of rain in three and a half years, and Ahab is intent on doing what he's always done, and that's trying to satisfy himself in his flesh. We saw that previously when he and Obadiah were looking for grass. They're in the middle of a drought, and they're out in the middle of nowhere looking for grass so Ahab could feed his livestock. No surprise there. Evil rulers, then and now, are only concerned about one thing, themselves. That's it. But what do God's people do? Well, we see that with Elijah. And I trust you and I will take this to heart tonight, and that more and more and more and more as time goes on and as we mature and grow in Jesus, that we will become people of prayer. That we would become people who are so dependent on God and so determined to appropriate the access that we have through Jesus to the Father, that we will be people of prayer. Because that's what we see Elijah doing. The Bible says that Ahab went up to eat and drink. That's verse 42. But Elijah went where? He went up to the top of Carmel. So I see Ahab going to eat and drink. He's going up to eat and drink. He's going back to his place of safety and security, the palace, wherever. And he's going to eat and drink, but Elijah's going a different direction. Elijah's going up to the top of Carmel. And the Bible says he got to the top of Carmel and he crouched down on the earth and he put his face between his knees. And this is a posture of prayer. I want you to see that. It's a posture of prayer. It's a posture of humility. I'm not going to be in that posture, the exact same posture as Elijah. He just crouched and he put his face between his knees, and this speaks of his humility before God. Of his dependence on God. And if prayer is anything, it is facilitated by one's humility and one's dependence on God. Apart from him, we can do nothing. There are things in our lives that we either know about, and some things in our lives we do not even know about, we are not even aware of. There are things that involve the people that we love, our family, our church family, that we may or may not know about, but we know that we want God's involvement in their lives. I mean, we can be well-wishers, wish you well, that's one thing, but to go before God in humility and dependence and to intercede for them is kind of a big deal. It is a big deal. To understand how weak we are but how powerful we are. We have how powerful our God is, and to go to Him in prayer. So there's Elijah. He's on the top of Carmel. He's crouched down on the earth. He's put his face between his knees. Now, if you go back to chapter 18 and verse 1, I want you to look at this. Now, it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying what? Go show yourself to Ahab. But then it goes on. And I will send rain on the face of the earth. So Elijah's actions here at the end of chapter 18 are expressive of the promise that God made to him in chapter 18 and verse 1. God said he would send rain on the face of the earth. Elijah knows that promise. What does he do? Is he just going to, is he going to go out to eat with Ahab? Is he going to go do something else? No. He's not going to take promises for granted. He is going to the top of the mountain. He is in a position, a posture of humility, and he is expectant to see God fulfill his promise. So the second thing concerning prayer is that prayer is based on God's promises. Listen, God's promises guide our prayer. They give us light as to what to pray. All right, Lord, you said you'd save the lost. Well, who do you know that's lost? Lift them up to the Lord in prayer. The Lord said we read it this morning out of Psalm 34. The Lord said he'd be near those who are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. Do you know someone brokenhearted, crushed in spirit? Do you know someone sorrowing over the loss of a loved one? Pray for them. Pray that the God of all comfort would come and comfort them in their time of loss. We could go on and on and on. But we've said it before, we'll say it again, and it's more than what we say, it's what we live by. But the Word of God fuels our prayer. It informs our prayer. And we should not be ashamed to ask God comfort, God strengthen, God grant illumination into the meaning of your scripture. God help us. God's a God of great mercy and grace and help, and he responds to those cries for help, for his aid in our lives. So prayer based on the promises of God. And this book is full of the promises of God. I mean, we have like our 10 go-tos, right? You hear them all the time. Anybody got a promise from God? Well, we have 10 or 12. Well, it's wonderful. But this whole book is full of the promises of God. And he's a good God. And these promises inform and direct our prayer. Well, what did Elijah do? He said to his servant, he said, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and he looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go back 7 times. Then it came about the 7th time that servant comes back. He has some news to report. Behold, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand. It's coming up from the sea. He says, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. Not only is prayer an expression of humility and dependence, and not only is it based on the promises of God, but prayer is offered to God in faith. In faith. This is a big thing. And if you'll turn there to James chapter 5 and verse 17. James gives us insight into Elijah's life. He says, and by the way, the whole purpose of this is to encourage the believer. In fact, James is writing this to encourage the New Testament believer. And he makes reference to Elijah in this encouragement. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What's that? He's a frail creature of dust. That's what he is. And that's what we are. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. He prayed again. There it is. And the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is about faith. It's about a prayer offered in faith. We want to be faithful. We want to live by faith. We don't want to leave faith on the shelf when we go to prayer, but to pray in faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. The Lord responds to faith. Luke 18 comes to mind. Wonderful parable spoken by Jesus on this subject of prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Boy, when you get a parable that starts out like that, hang on to it. I wish he started them all like that, telling us what the bottom line, what the meaning of the parable is. This is one that he shares with us up front what the parable's about. No question about it. Don't have to argue about it. Don't have to speculate about it. It's right there. This is why he was telling a parable, so that at how many times or at what times? At all times, they, the believer, ought to what? Pray and not to lose heart. Don't lose heart. And he said it this way. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. So she obviously had an opponent, and she needed some legal protection. She needed someone. She needed that judge to step in and give her some covering, give her some protection, help her. For a while he was unwilling, the judge, that is, was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself. So when the judge starts talking to himself, that's a good sign. He says, even though I do not fear God or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. She will give me a black eye. She will ruin my reputation. Every time I turn around, this widow is right here in front of me, and I just can't get rid of her. And he said, and listen, this is beautiful. This is typical. This is Jesus bringing this parable home to our hearts. Verse 6, and the Lord said, what did he say? He said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. That's the unrighteous judge in a parable. He says, now will not God... And the obvious contrast there is that God is the righteous judge. Will not God bring about justice for his elect? Even the weakest of them, like this widow, for his elect who what? Who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? These are the words of Jesus. He says, I tell you, these are the words of Christ. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We should pray at all times and never lose heart. Never lose heart. Never lose heart. Be relentless in prayer. You say, well, I have that list and And we're like, I've seen the Lord answer five of those requests. I've seen the Lord do this. But we run out of optimism. We run out of just considering the fact that God in his own time will answer. And according to Jesus, he will answer speedily. And then here's a real kicker. However, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Giving us the idea that when he comes, he's looking for what? He's looking for people of faith. And how is faith expressed in that parable? It is expressed in prayer. So the thing that is out there that you have not seen come to fruition, you have not seen it materialize, double down. Just double down in prayer. That person that's lost, I mean, I'm convicted right now. I got to double down in prayer for my brother, my little brother. I don't know. It's not a good situation. I got to pray for him. I've kind of let up, to be honest. I've kind of said, you know what? That looks like that's a done deal. Well, you need to practice what you preach. Yeah, you're right. And we all need to practice what we believe, what we say we believe, and what the Bible tells us. Listen, never, never give up. Never. That person you're praying for may not have any, they might not display any awareness of God or give any evidence that they even care. But there's a God in heaven who in the flash, in the blink of an eye, can change a person's heart. He can do that. Is anything too difficult for God? It's all in here. Not a thing is too difficult for God. And then all the while, what happens? Our faith is expressed, and I have to believe, when we're going through those times of prayer and prayer and more prayer, and we don't see the answer, but we're committed and we're praying in faith and we're humble and we're dependent and we know it's about God and it's not about us, that he is refining our faith. That I'm going to get up with a stronger faith ultimately than what I had when this whole thing started. That's the ways of God. So continue to pray. And then be persevering in prayer. We got into that. Persevere in prayer. Pray in faith. Pray with humility and dependence. And then in a little while, there it is. Verse 45. I love that. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind. Oh, smells like rain. You know that smell. You know that smell when it's been dry and then you just get that smell. And I remember growing up, you could see the underside of those leaves. They just kind of turn. They're just wanting the leaves of the trees that just turn toward heaven, and you are about to get a shower, and you could smell it and you could hear it and you could feel that wind whip up. And he says, in a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. God fulfills his promises. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. Ahab's in a chariot. Elijah is on foot. Energy from prayer and God answers. And the hand of the Lord is on Elijah. Elijah's going to go through some tough times though. Next time we meet together, Elijah is going to pay attention to a word that came to him, but not from the Lord. And it's going to send him into a spiral. And it's the same guy that saw God work on Mount Carmel. It's the same guy that was taken care of by a widow in Zarephath. The same guy that was taken care of by ravens at the brook Cherith. He is going to hear from the queen. And he is going to go into all sorts of disappointment, despondency, and frustration. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time together tonight. Lord, you're good. You are so good to us, and we pray. I pray, God, for all of us here tonight, that you would put upon us a mantle of prayer. Lord, that we'll just recognize the great access that we have through the blood of Jesus to you, and that we will frequent your throne room, and you will hear expressions of our heart for people that we know and some we may not know, all based on your promises. And Lord, we will keep our eyes open to the answer that you provide. But help us in this endeavor. We are frail. We are prone to weakness. We are prone, rather than living by faith, to live by sight and to really gauge time in a way that's not healthy sometimes. Lord, but help us in this endeavor to pray. We appreciate all that you do for us. We do lift up the lost tonight and lost family members. Folks who even walk through the doors of this church building and don't know you, Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift up, God, those who are struggling and hurting, those who are sick, those who are, Lord, who are weak and who need the encouragement that you provide. We lift them up to you tonight. Now go with us, continue to lead, guide, protect, and we'll give you all the honor and all the glory as we magnify your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.